Will you pray with me? Open our eyes and our hearts and our ears, O God, that we may see that each one of us is splendidly made in your image. Amen. So as you know, as you've heard, we have just come back from annual conference, and I had already selected my passage based on the lectionary, and I had great plans for it, and we went to annual conference, and those of you who were there know that it was stunning. One reader read all the way through Genesis 1, but they had, in the First Church Richardson, all the light effects and the sound and the nuances every time there was a day of creation. And it was good. And then by the time we got to the second day, I noticed the reader on his own was adding, and it was very good. And in the scripture, it doesn't do that until the very last, but we're going to try to do that, except I am going to ask you to help me. This is going to be an interactive reading about the 6 days of creation and the Sabbath, and you'll know that your cue comes either when you're following along in your scripture in the first book of the first chapter of Genesis, or when you hear me pause and you say, "And God saw that it was good." But the second time you'll say, "God saw that it was very good." All right. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth. And the waters that were gathered together, God called seas. And God saw that it was very good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with a seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with a seed in it. And God saw that it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was very good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was very good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in God's image, male and female. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves. See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that's upon the face of the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit you shall have for food, and to every beast of the earth and every bird of the air and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good. Thank you. Thank you for participating in that reading of first chapter of Genesis. So we're told that God spoke all of that into creation, and when God speaks, things happen. But then there are questions. What is this light of God on the first day? I mean, it's not the sun or the moon. That comes later. And then we get all these questions that have been cropping up for hundreds and hundreds of years. 400 years ago, Galileo Galilei, peering through a telescope that had just come to him from Holland, and he had just tweaked some, saw the mountains on the moon. And then in another part of the sky, he saw that the planet Jupiter had moons on it as well. And in still another part of the sky, he saw that the planet Venus went through phases just like the moon waxes and wanes. And he began to write about the earth moving around the sun. And he published this. And this went on for a few years. And the Vatican said, whoa, wait a minute. This is causing problems. This is not a good thing. And so they called Galileo Galilei in front of the tribunal, the court. And they said, you cannot do this anymore. You can't write that the earth revolves around the sun. And you have to, not only that, you have to recant what you said. You have to take it back. And Galileo took it back. He said, no, that's not really what happened. Even though he knew from the empirical evidence that it was true. And legend has it that people could hear him in his last 8 years, confined to his residence. He was confined as well, you know, dangerous. People could hear him saying, and yet it moves, and yet it moves. And almost 400 years later, Paul McCartney and John Lennon set some of those words to music like this. But the fool on the hill, that would be Galileo, sees the sun going down and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. No matter what they said, Galileo just couldn't stop seeing the world spinning around. He knew the truth, but a papal decree made him say, it's not so. 25 years ago, in a remarkable gesture, Pope John Paul II came before the Vatican and said, you know what? Galileo was right. 350 years later, Galileo was right. The Vatican was wrong. I mean, everybody knew that, but that was kind of an unheard of thing to say we were wrong. He was right. Well, it doesn't have to be 400 years ago that challenges the creation story. If you keep up with the headlines on your iPhone or online or in the news, you know that the headlines this past week out of Morocco went something like this. Fossils recast the story of the origin of humankind. This past week, fossils do that. So we had all thought that humanity started in this one particular place in Africa, maybe Ethiopia, and we had a skull that's known to be about 195,000 years old, but this discovery was in Morocco, and this skull, and the description says if you put skin on that skull, we would recognize each other in the bus or the train, you know. It looked like us, the brain was a little smaller. This skull was 300,000 years old. And by the way, how does creation fit with everything that's going on at the South Pole? So, if you were looking for a place to contemplate the origin of humankind, you probably would not select the South Pole. I've read that the highest recorded temperature there ever was 9.9 degrees Fahrenheit. So you probably wouldn't want to go there to contemplate it. However, if you were wanting to contemplate the origin of humankind, and you're pretty much sold on the science of it, you might really want to choose the South Pole, because it's a place that is very light and dry, and you can see, we're told, science gurus say, microwaves that are linked to the Big Bang Theory. And also, it is the closest place you can go on Earth to space and still be on the ground. So you might want to go to the South Pole. Scientists love the South Pole. Religious people, not so much sometimes. So some scientists really say that it's a struggle to hold their faith in tension with all the creation stories and with Scripture, in fact. And they're challenged again and again. Some people of faith tell me that their challenge is, do I kind of put my faith on the back burner when I enter into a classroom or when I walk into my workspace? There's an Old Testament scholar named John Walton, and he says, we don't have to do either one of those. You can balance science and religion with ease. He said, it's kind of like looking at Van Gogh's painting, A Starry Night. And you see that rendition, that painting. Or you can look at Earth through the Hubble telescope. And so you have two different lenses, but you're looking at the same thing. One is an artistic rendering, and the other is a scientific rendering. There's a way to tell a story that transcends the categories of true versus false, of science versus myth, of science versus religion. And the ancient people that were telling this story in Genesis 1 were big storytellers. They were good at this. They lived in a world of stories, and Genesis 1 is their story of God and humanity. They would have understood that this story of the first 6 days of creation is all about God building a house. And then on the seventh day, it becomes a home. The home where God lives. So this is a creator who delights in creation, who wants to move in and be present with humanity from day one. That's really the point of the creation story as we read it today. God is at rest, living with God's people. And the stunning part of the creation story is not so much about how creation happened, but about the who. Here's the story. God is revealed as a God who creates in order to have relationship. Our God is a God of relationship. So this is Trinity Sunday, and we're celebrating that God, the Creator, is our incarnate God who came to us as Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is with us today, comforting us and guiding us. And so it's natural to have unity in community. And when we understand, creation this way, we understand our place better. We're not just cosmic dust. We're not just the product of cosmic dust and evolution. We are beloved by God, made in God's image to be in relationship with one another, all of us. And so I want to talk about what that means for Project Transformation, and you're connecting today's scripture with that. On any given day, you're likely at the end of summer or during the summer to have one of the children walk with a little bit more confidence, to have them read a little bit better, to have them understand and act as if they are loved by God because of any one of these interns, because they've been in the youth building and they've seen that Ben treats them as if they're loved. And so they must be loved by God. Or they've been upstairs in the youth activity room and they see that Gus acts as if God loves him. Or they've been in here, as Avi has arranged it, reading with one of you or someone else, and they've suddenly found that they're reading a little bit better. And they're reminded they too are made in God's image. Or maybe you're part of the group that's going over to First United Methodist Church Dallas this week with Julius and some of our Burundis, because you are going to show and tell the VBS students at First Church Dallas that God loves Burundis also, and this is how God does it. And maybe they'll hear some drums, Bill, and they'll understand that that beats out a lot of times the message that says, God loves us, and we're excited about that. I know Melinda and I yesterday experienced the presence of God in Alan and Thierry's gathering to celebrate their graduation. We sang the songs and we did not know one of those words to those songs, but we knew that they were celebrating that we are all made in God's image. And so this is a story. This is our story. And we value this story because we're the who in this story. And to this day, we humans still gather on the day of rest, a Sunday, to tell God's stories, to bless the day, to bless each other, and to bless all of creation. And it is very good. Amen.